Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Hasiri, and my goal is to challenge and support military veterans to reach their peak potential in their civilian career. My guest today for episode number 265 is Brian Reeves.
Your mind is lying to you constantly. It's predicting a future that you can't possibly know what is actually to come. And we make a lot of decisions out of fear. You know, our brain evolved to help us survive. Not thrive, but survive. It's been a long road to get here. It's been a very slowly evolving journey with lots of twists and turns. And Justin, to be just totally frank, I never would have thought this would be where I'd end up. No way, no how. Yeah. Never could have seen this coming.
Well, this is a great episode for a couple of reasons. First of all, Brian is a life and relationship coach, which is an off-the-beaten career path that we haven't covered before on the show. It's also a career path that has given him a lot of insight into challenges that people face, both men and women, in their personal lives, professional lives, and relationships. He talks about thriving, not just surviving in one's life, and his decade-long journey of career experimentation. He talks about what helped him on his journey, which is learning to figure out what his body was saying yes to and what it was clearly saying no to. It's great advice, regardless of what career path you pursue. As always, at beyondtheuniform.org, you will find show notes where I have links to all the resources Brian recommends, all the related episodes. If you enjoy this one, including my own episode that I recorded about men's groups and my experiences with that. Special thanks to Jay Tillman, who back in 2017 gave the gift that keeps on giving. He wrote a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, either one. He wrote, "Credit to Justin for filling a market need and supplying some great content to energetic vets looking to make a dent outside of the service. Appreciate how Justin and the interviewees balance military jargon and industry speak, the hardest trait to break out of the blocks." Thank you, Jay Tillman, and the other 110 of you who have left reviews on iTunes. Helps get the word out, and really love that phrase, make a dent outside the service. What a great vision of just, you know, doing great service in the military and then continuing afterwards. I also agree with you. It can be a real tricky trait to break of getting away from acronyms and jargon and learning to translate your experience into the civilian sector, which is one of our goals on the show. So with that, let's dive into my conversation with Brian Reeves. Well, joining me today in Los Angeles, California, my guest is Brian Reeves. Brian, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks, Justin. Man, it's a real honor to be here. I've been looking forward to this.
Me too. For listeners, a little bit of context about Brian. He is a life and relationship coach. He coaches men, women, and couples to experience extraordinary intimate relationships and lives in which they thrive every day. He started out at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, after which he served in the Air Force for 5 years, with his final post as a captain as the 1st Space Launch Squadron Space Flight Commander in Cape Canaveral Air Station. He has had a diverse career prior to his current role, and we're going to go into a lot of detail in that in the interview. And he also hosts the podcast Men This Way, Life Insights from Wise Men, which is coincidentally how I came across Brian. For those of you who have listened to my episode on men's groups, I talked briefly about John Wineland and my experience at one of his weekend workshops. I'm starting in April a year-long course with John Wineland. Really respect him and his work. He had emailed his newsletter saying he was on Brian's podcast and really enjoyed Brian's style, realized that he too is a military veteran, and also heard about Connor Beaton in episode 7 from Brian's podcast, who I'm also going to have on the show. So, yeah, Brian, appreciate the work that you're doing. And it's a very different career path than many people I've had on the show. So excited to highlight the work you're doing.
Yeah, I'll say. Yeah, man, truly. Oh, that's really cool. I'm really glad to hear. It's one of the things that's been really rewarding about this work is helping men connect with each other in deeper ways that really serve our hearts, serve our lives, serve our connection to ourselves. So, Justin, to hear that you found me through John and Connor and man, that really pleases me.
Mm. Yeah, there's so much I want to dive into there about why I believe this work is important and why I think it's important now. I'm sure we'll get to that, but maybe just to set the stage, if you bumped into someone in the Air Force or someone on active duty and they asked you what you do for a living, how would you explain it to them?
Well, if I knew I was talking to a military person and they asked me that question, I would keep it very simple and succinct. And I would just say that I am a life coach and a relationship coach. I work with men, women, and couples to help them create connection, deep, authentic connection with themselves, and from there, then with each other.
Hmm. So I'm a big believer in this, and I'm just trying to put myself back in my Navy shoes 10 plus years ago, 12 years ago. Yeah. And I'm just guessing there's that version of myself would say, you know, I know myself really well. I don't need this. Or I might even say like, hey, I don't have PTSD. I don't have any issues. Like how would you respond to that?
Yeah, that's really a great insight, because I was 26. I'm 44 now. I was 26 when I got out of the Air Force. I never saw combat, but I was fucked up, man, when I got out of the military. I was so disconnected. I couldn't feel myself. I couldn't feel my emotions. I couldn't cry. Definitely couldn't cry, but I couldn't even really laugh. Mm-hmm. I was so disconnected from my emotions. And but I was functional. I mean, I was successful and functional. And as far as I was concerned, I had my shit together. But, you know, I tried to do intimate relationship with a woman from that place of not really feeling deeply connected emotionally. And man, it was messy. It was awful for years. And I think, you know, Justin, not everybody really is ready for this kind of work. I think particularly with men, we tend to have to hit a bottom of one sort or another before we realize, okay, I can't figure this out for myself. I worked with a colonel, actually. He was a year away from separation. This was a few years back. And he hired me because he was like a wing commander. I mean, he was a big deal, Air Force colonel. But he had lost a relationship that was important to him. He was a year away from separating. And interestingly, he had had a dream before we worked together. And he shared this dream with me. And he said, during the dream, I was talking with this woman in my dream. And she had these sparkly eyes, these beautiful sparkly eyes. And he said, when I woke up, I realized that I had been talking to my heart. This is a colonel, man, you know, wing commander. I mean, had, you know, lots of responsibility. And here he is recognizing, you know, 19 years, maybe it was even beyond 20. I can't remember exactly, but recognizing that he's disconnected from his own heart. And the work that we did together was really extraordinary, but he was ready for it. And he had a decision to make about whether to continue on and basically do as a civilian what he had been doing as a wing commander. And he was actually a pilot. And I want to keep this general just to protect his you know, privacy. And he had a big decision to make, but he realized that continuing to do his work just as a civilian, trading civilian clothes for the uniform, that was not where his heart was, that was actually a path upon which he would just be slowly dying. And, you know, I think that was my experience when I got out at 26. I could have continued. I could have, you know, parlayed my military career into a very well-paid civilian contractor career. But my heart just, everything in my being was just no. But I was ready for that. And that was my path. And there were a lot of men and women who did not do that kind of thing and have stayed on that path. And there's nothing wrong either way. So, you know, you ask a great question. Now, this is a really long answer. But I think, you know, a lot of people in the military, particularly the deeper we get, we kind of are faced with a choice. And that is to, are we really doing the work that is true to our soul that we really came here to do? And in some cases, many people are going to say, of course, I was born to be in the military and to serve in this way. And man, mad respect and beautiful. If that's true for you, go. But I think for a lot of us, it certainly was for my case and this colonel as well, at least at that point in his career, there comes a reckoning with our choices. And if we just keep doing what we've been doing, it doesn't lead us down a path that that just feels good.
I love that. And for listeners, I kind of want to unpack two things that really resonated with me. The first one is, this is the 260th or so episode. In by far the biggest trend that I hear from members of the military is the importance of self-knowledge. And I just want to point that out for listeners. This is critical, and it is infinite. Like, it's not like I know myself. You are constantly changing. You are constantly learning more about yourself. And so one way, one lens through which to view what Brian is saying is, this is all about self-knowledge, understanding your values and motivations. And the second thing is, one thing that Brian's saying that I've come to realize over the last maybe 2 years is the importance of being connected to your body. And with Beyond the Uniform's coaching program, one of the pieces of feedback I get most often from our coaches is that a lot of the military members they work with, they operate from their head. They are rationally approaching a decision, which is great. It's always good to have your mind engaged. But for those of you who have listened to my episode about my own recent career transition, that came out of my felt body sense. That came out of a sense of, this career is not aligned with who I am and who I want to become. And an openness and honesty of, like, when I do these sorts of activities, I'm alive and energized and I feel good. And so that's why I think that maybe what Brian's saying for many of you on active duty may seem distant from your experience in this world, but it's certainly something I've experienced firsthand, living in my head and seeing the power of being more connected to my body. And it seems to be a trend of the power. If you can bring not just your mind, but your mind and body into your decision-making, it's an unstoppable combination.
Yeah. I like to think of it as a table of advisors. You know, it's important to, because we don't want to throw the mind out. The brain has its place. It has to make sense. You know, it's there for a reason. But so is our body. And it's like ignoring, you know, the clicking noise you hear in your car for a long period of time. Your car, it's going to get worse. It's going to get louder. And eventually your car is going to break down and you won't be able to drive it, or you'll have a huge repair bill. It's the same with the body. If we ignore what the body is telling us, and, you know, at first it can be really challenging. And this is one of the things that I think the military, it kind of handicaps us in a way. We really get disconnected from the body and from what we're feeling emotionally. And to some degree, we have to. I mean, that's the nature of the work. I mean, you know, we're kind of blunt force instruments in many ways. So I get it, but it's also very damaging. Whether or not you see combat, just going through the military experience is incredibly disconnecting from that felt sense, meaning just everything that we feel in our body that reminds us we even have a body. And it's just like a car, and it will give us signals. It will tell us. You know, I remember I was managing an independent music artist for a couple of years, one of my many career iterations after the military. And we were on the road for about 10 months in 2010 or 2009, whatever it was. And I remember I was a manager, so I was on my laptop a lot, and I was in our truck, driving all over the United States. I would sit in the car and be on my laptop and, you know, typing in things, making flyers, doing all kinds of stuff in the truck. So my shoulders are hunched over. And I remember feeling this really intense pain in my neck, you know, but I'd felt pains in my neck before. It's like, you know, man, I can get through this. Just muscle through it. I got work to do. And I'll tell you, Justin, after a few months of ignoring that, one morning somewhere between Salt Lake City and Portland, Oregon, I woke up in a hotel bedroom, unable to get out of bed. I was 36 years old and completely unable to lift myself out of bed. My body had locked up. It had seized. It was saying, no more. You will do this no more. And I think that's like to what you're pointing to. It's of vital importance that we learn to reconnect with our bodies and stay connected to our bodies and bring that information to our table of advisors, if you will, to make the best choice for our lives, for our vitality, for our relationships.
So a couple things I'd love to dig into with your work, Brian, and maybe one of the things that's most relevant is if you've seen any trends with the men that you work with, like what are challenges that are facing your average man today?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the biggest challenges facing men is particularly men who might, I don't know if they describe themselves as successful, but men who kind of have it, you know, they've got what they thought they wanted. And I even experienced this in the military. I had prestige. I was a captain. I had money. I had a home. I had a woman. I had the job. I had everything, but I was miserable. And I think this is one of the big challenges that men consistently face is it's this belief that if I just get all the things that I think I'm supposed to want, the money, the woman or the man or the car, the house, the job, the this, the what, then I can relax and I'll feel free and I can be happy. And it doesn't work. And I think, you know, especially in that, even in that transition from the military, that's an incredibly jarring experience. Where we come from, and I will say we come from a lot of camaraderie. We don't really have connection, not authentic connection in the military, because there's a lot of masks we have to wear. There's a uniform that gets in the way. And again, appropriately so for that environment and for what is being asked of us there. But we humans need connection. We need authentic, real connection to other humans. And this is the challenge that I think so many of us men and many women too. I've worked with women, actually, women veterans that really suffer from this similar kind of disconnect. And again, it's hard to make sense of because the outside world, it looks like it looks all good, or we're working towards something that we think should give us that sense of accomplishment and happiness, and it just doesn't.
I love that, and I like to just get that on everyone's radar. Of I had this experience years ago where many of the people I went to business school have made literally hundreds of millions of dollars, like obscene, holding the world ransom amounts of money, and we I've been exposed to people with that level of wealth, which I had not been in the military, and. Some of the trends that I see is multiple marriages and distance from kids and dissatisfaction. There's a friend of a friend who literally made over $100 million and suffers from depression and is up all night.
Yeah.
We saw in the news Kate Spade and Andrew Bourdain in the same week suicide. And it's the realization that's not the answer. That's not worth deferring happiness to for. And so how do you reprogram people to be able to experience that connection, especially when a lot of times people may not know that they're swimming on the surface, that they're playing in the kiddie pool of connection?
Yeah, totally. Well, and I just want to say, man, it's totally adorable and wonderful seeing you bottle feed your little boy there. That's cool.
Yeah, podcast listeners are missing out right now on this cute scene.
it's adorable. Well, as I said earlier, especially men, women tend to be a little bit more attuned, and nothing is this black and white, but look, women tend to be a little bit more attuned to their suffering. again, though the military will do a great job of knocking women out, off of that attunement, because that's self-awareness. It's body awareness. It's what's actually happening in my body. And men, just by the nature of testosterone, it blocks a lot of what otherwise would help us really feel what's happening in our bodies. So first, you have to recognize that what's happening for you, that you're actually going to work every day or doing what you're doing every day, and it's not working. And as I said earlier in the podcast as well, what that often may require is we have to hit bottom. You know, a lot of men will come to work with me, especially when it's on relationship stuff, after they've been left or after they have, you know, their partner has made it so clear that if things don't change, I'm out of here. That's the bottom. Or I've also had men that come to work with me where they're on top of the pyramid. I've climbed the mountain. They've got the business. They've got the money. They've got the multiple homes. They've got the good woman. They've got and they're not, it just doesn't work. That's another form of bottom. It's a weird bottom because you're really on top, but you feel it's like that, you know, that's the worst in a way, because where do you go from there? So I just want to acknowledge that, you know, I was, gosh, I guess I've hit lots of bottoms in my own life, but I've also been very inquisitive, and I've always been interested in like knowing myself, and, you know, I've been kind of programmed that way, but it's still been a really painful journey. And usually at the hands of women who would not put up with my bullshit, that caused me to really dig deeper and do this kind of work. But this is where it really gets juicy, Justin. I mean, this is where life really, you know, one of the models that I work with in my coaching is the three stages model. And in the first stage, which is we all start life there, and we all spend most of our adolescence and most of us stay there for our entire adult lives. But we're constantly seeking satisfaction in the world around us. We call that our codependence. I need the world to be a certain way so that I can be happy, feel free, feel good, be at ease, be relaxed. And we might achieve it for a minute. You know, we might, you know, payday, we get our paycheck. Oh, I can relax. But then, you know, a week later or a couple minutes later, when the reality of all the bills we are saddled with or whatever, oh, shit, man, it's just not enough. And immediately we feel the burden again, and we go back into our, so that's, you know, that's the stage one. And man, life is exhausting there. We can prop it up for a long time, and we can live there for a long time, but we don't have a lot of vitality. That's where we live for the weekend, and we drink a lot at night, you know, when our responsibilities are done. We have a lot of addictions, or we have a lot of coping mechanisms, porn, alcohol, money, women, whatever. And we can do that for decades, but boy, man, that has a huge cost in terms of our vitality. And so a lot of my work is helping men and women get out of that first stage and start to, you know, and what I heard you saying as well about your coaching work, you know, helping that next stage is really introspective work. Well, who am I really? Self-exploration, self-awareness. What's, you know, connecting deeply, authentically to myself. And that's the kind of independent stage. No longer depending on my bank account for my happiness level. Not to say it's not important, but not making it, you know, my job title or, you know, a woman's validation of me or whatever it is, responsible for how I feel about myself.
I love that. I the framework I think of this through is kind of the phrase I've heard is externally referenced versus internally referenced. And it's something I've worked on for the last year. And when I made my recent career transition, it was largely based on the realization of how much what I was doing was so that others would view me as successful, or others would be envious of me, or that I would make a lot of money. And it was the realization of, like, money's not going to make a difference. And the worst way for me to live my life is what people think of me on social media. And so just choosing to off-road on a path that's uniquely suited for me, even if no one else in the world ever thinks it's good or right. And I think that what you're talking about, it's a powerful process. And I hope listeners can understand how that sort of work, it's not easy. It takes courage, but it can change everything in your life, your relationships, your career, your happiness. It can foundationally change how you operate.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's one of the most important transitions that we can make. We don't necessarily make. And we usually make it when we realize we have no fucking choice. When we realize, again, there's no woman or intimate partner that's going to save us. There's no amount of money that's going to make us happy. And, you know, just everything is ephemeral. It doesn't last. And we're just left with ourselves.
And I just want to call out, I wish I'd done this at the outset, but I know many people in our audience are women. And I think the thing that I would just call out is first of all, and Brian, I'm curious your thoughts on this, at least in the men's groups I'm in, I would say the vast majority of men are there because their partner made them go or prompted them to go. And I would bet with in a therapy environment, it's very often that. So I think this is valuable for you because you are if you are in a relationship with a man, you are an incredible influence on what will make change in their life. And the other thing is that many of you are raising young men, you're raising boys. And that was a big motivation for me to get into this work of wanting to be a good example for my soon to be and now present son and wanting to be that.
Yeah. And I just want to draw a really important distinction because, speaking specifically to women who are partnered with men or want to be, you can't get a man to do anything he doesn't want to do and you shouldn't try. That is a recipe for disaster, resentment and emasculation and the pro-masculation of you and you become his mother, his boss, his like that. It just doesn't work. One of the foundations of my work is boundaries. And that's also, by the way, that second stage work, you know, codependence, we have no boundaries. When we begin to create boundaries, and this is the power, the real power we have in relationship to influence each other and to create change is being a stand for our boundaries. And again, when you can feel your body and you realize I don't feel nourished in this experience, whether it's your work or it's a relationship, and you can own that, really bring that to the table of advisors and be able to have that conversation first with yourself. Something is off. Something needs to shift. I need to make a different choice. I need to experience a different dynamic. And you can be a stand for that. That's what, and just to speak specifically to intimacy, men, again, forcing a man to go to therapy or go to coaching or go to a men's group, it's not a good idea. If he's not ready, he's going to hate you for giving him an ultimatum. It just doesn't work. But being a stand for your own boundaries, being a stand for what you want to experience and leaving him to whatever he chooses, to whatever he decides is the right path for him, whether that's leaving you or letting you go. You know, sometimes us men, as I said, I've said it over and over, sometimes the best thing a woman can do for us is leave us. I don't encourage it. But sometimes it's the only thing that wakes us up. It's the bottom that we have to hit. And that's going to piss off a lot of men listening, probably. And I get it. I understand. And I know it's confronting. And you know, we don't have a lot of time to go into the subtleties of that. But I just invite you to recognize how, you know, a lot of times we men, we don't really rise to the challenge until death is on the line. That's why all our movies, death, you know, we love death in our movies because it inspires us. It inspires us to find, I mean, every sports match is about, you know, what's the most exciting moment in any sports match? It's sudden death. That's the most exciting period of any game, sudden death. Oh my God, what's going to happen? Or the last, you know, the buzzer beater because it's instantaneous. One of us lives or dies. It's madly invigorating to masculine energy. And so that shows up in our relationships as well. And Anyway, I'll leave it there. It's a rabbit hole we could throw ourselves down, but I'll just leave it there for now, Justin.
And for listeners, I'll put in the show notes a link to Brian's podcast and his website. And so, you know, we are just skimming the surface, but if this message is resonating with you, know that there's a ton of resources we'll have for this episode. So many directions to go. Maybe one is, I know we didn't have time to go too in depth on your career path, but one of the things that stood out in when we were trading emails is you had said you have over a decade of career experimenting, saying yes to what intrigued me and no to what felt heavy. So many of my listeners are on active duty thinking of what they're going to do next, or they've been out of the military for a decade and they're thinking about their next career move. What advice do you have for them about listening to themselves and finding that job that's aligned with who they are?
Yeah, that's a great question. Definitely one of my favorite topics to explore. I just want to acknowledge your mind is lying to you constantly. Your mind is lying to you constantly. It's predicting a future that you can't possibly know what is actually to come. And we make a lot of decisions out of fear. You know, our brain evolved to help us survive, not thrive, but survive. And we live in a time where we don't really have to worry about surviving anymore. We're really, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if any of you know what that is, you know, our basic fundamental needs are pretty much taken care of. You know, we have shelter, we have food, we're not going to starve in this country. You know, a lot of us, especially if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably in the middle of the pyramid. You've been doing work that at least works for you on some level. You have a paycheck. You know, you have those kind of basic needs. And really now you're listening to this because you're being called more onto the path of self-actualization, actualizing the potential of your full self. And that begs different questions. Right? Questions such as, what would be nourishing to me? Not just what's going to pad my bank account so I don't starve. Like, if you're asking that question, you're on the bottom of the pyramid, you're just focused on survival. And you might survive, but you're not going to really enjoy your life. So asking yourself questions, what would nourish me? You know, when I was working with this colonel and he was faced with that choice, whether to end his career, stay on as the wing commander, or trade his uniform for civilian clothes and just do the same thing, but probably get paid three times as much. Bringing to the table of advisors his body, that question, what would nourish me? What is my heart longing to experience? What am I, you know, he didn't have an immediate answer. What he ended up doing actually was he did retire and he took a year off and he just traveled. He had this really great truck that he put a bed in and he padded up and he had money. He didn't have to do it like this, but this is what he chose. And he just chose to head out into the West and drive and visit family and friends and go to workshops and go on that exploration for about a year. Yeah. And he actually came and did a men's retreat with me while he was on that journey. And man, what he was just waking up to, his vitality, his joy, his excitement, his enthusiasm for life. And he fell in love with a woman on that trip as well. And or during that time that we were working together. And that's really what we're talking about here. Survival versus the thrival. Mm-hmm. The worst word ever, but you know, you get the point. Thrival or survival, what are you in for? And no one can make that choice what that means for you. For another man or woman, it might have been keep being the wing commander because it lights you up. It is what thrills you and it is your dharma, your purpose, your joy, whatever. But that's really, you know, it's checking in, what would nourish me? What would thrill me? What would excite me? And I'll tell you, my best life experiences have come from just trusting that inner knowing, that inner yes, even when it came with no guarantees of success.
It's something that was surprising to me in the last year. And I'm not sure how many people in the military would relate to this, but I really had a distrust of my intuition. There was a deep-seated distrust, Yeah. A fear of making mistakes. I do think some of that comes from my time on submarines where mistakes are catastrophic, and I've never experienced that level of risk in my mistakes as I did in those 5 years. And so, and I'm learning, you know, what comes through and what you're saying is like the power when you can tap into that intuition. Mm-hmm. And I love the thought of this colonel hopping in his car. And what I would say for listeners is, especially for listeners, if this is out of your comfort zone, or if there's something about this that you really dislike, is to take an experimental approach, to listen to Brian's podcast, to attend a workshop, to take action in some way. And it's the startup way of you test and experiment and then see the reaction. But to try to pay attention to your body. And it sounds like with this colonel, in his year-long experiment, he got a lot of positive feedback. He got a lot of very visceral feedback that this was the right move for him.
Yeah.
And so to take that risk and to trust that you'll be smart to figure out whether it's a good fit for you or not.
Yeah, and there are definitely, you know, degrees of experimentation. When I was 26 and a captain and my time to separate came up, I remember, I mean, it was there was no choice for me. Everything in my being said, you have to get out of this. This is not for you. This is not your path. Mm. I remember I had an offer from Lockheed Martin. I had an offer from Lockheed Martin because I was working at the launch site in Cape Canaveral. We were launching the GPS satellites, which was a Lockheed Martin satellite at that time. Mm. And I remember the big boss of Lockheed Martin came to me and said, "Look, man, you know, if you want a job, come talk to me. I got you." And I, you know, considered it for maybe 1/10 of a second. But everything in me was just, no, this is the path of a slow death for me. I didn't know what else to do, but I just knew not to do that. It was such a clear no for me. And I entered the wilderness. I mean, I went traveling. I went, and it was a hard fucking path, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a nervous breakdown a month after I separated from the military in a phone booth in Wales. Because like, who am I? I didn't know who I was anymore. You know, today we have so many more resources, just the internet, you know, podcasts like this. We have so many more ways to connect, to create new connections. You don't have to do it so drastically anymore. Even this colonel, I mean, when he separated, he didn't, you know, when I separated, what year was that? It was like 2001. There was no YouTube. There were no podcasts. There was barely email. And, you know, so I went traveling around and I was so lost. Because I knew what my no was, but I had no idea what my yes was other than to just go, travel, find. And it was fucking hard, man. I mean, it was really, really hard. This day and age, there's so many more resources we have to reach out for support when we make these transitions or we explore these questions. Like what you just said, Justin, you know, these podcasts. Connect with, you know, work with someone like Justin, work with someone like me, but reach out and you don't have to just leap off the cliff and hope you grow wings. Yeah. You know, you can kind of look over the cliff and go, well, you know, hey, there's some other people that have already jumped. Hey guys, what's it like? What have you learned? What were your experiences? Mm-hmm. That's what this, you know, Justin, what you and I are doing here, which I think is so, so important and valuable.
Yeah. I love that phrase, success leaves clues. And I do think that we are all unique snowflakes. We have, you know, things that light us up and things that don't. But I love that thought of you're saying of just, you know, seeing what's out there, munching on it and going from there. Yeah. One thing I just wanted to touch on briefly, and I know we're starting to run out of time here, but I realize that, you know, usually on the show we're featuring career paths, and I just want to, if you could give the headline of what is your job look like? What does your day-to-day look like, especially for those who have connected with what you're saying and say, hey, maybe this is something that I would want to do for a living.
Yeah. So, wow. So what does my day look like? Well, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I mean, I'm a life coach, a relationship coach. So throughout the week, I'll see clients. Most of my clients are around the world. So I do a lot of internet video coaching. When I say around the world, I mean Australia, Sweden, you know, all over the U.S., Canada. I don't think I have anyone in Northern Africa. Oh, no, Beirut, Lebanon. So I have clients everywhere. And so I'll see them throughout the week. Now, a lot of my business is social media marketing, sharing, writing blogs, sharing posts on Instagram and Facebook, and that's all freely given content. It's the best marketing. It's just freely given content that serves people. And then I also have online programs, three different online programs to help people navigate the challenges of intimacy and relationship. And so, it's been a long road to get here. It's been a very slowly evolving journey with lots of twists and turns. And Justin, to be just totally frank, I never would have thought this would be where I'd end up. No way, no how. Never could have seen this coming. But this is what I mean by following your yes. I got here because I just kept saying yes to all of the different things on my path, the choices that felt a little bit, a little light, like, wow, that looks interesting. Should managing an artist? I don't have any idea how to manage artists, but boy, that feels exciting. And it's a yes. And I mean, I literally went from making $10,000 a month working for a fashion watch company as their international spokesperson to making $25 a month as the indie band manager back in August 2008, maybe. And on paper, it looked like a terrible decision. But long term, man, it set me up for a life that I'm absolutely in love with. I have the most amazing partner, my fiance, 3.5 years together. She's a marriage and family therapist. Our work really bridges. We're serving so many people around the world, and we're making money at it. We set our own schedule. We can work from anywhere in the world. I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't made these various choices in support of my yes, even though my brain might have been saying, "Are you fucking crazy?" And all the people around me also like, "Are you crazy, man? You're gonna get out of the military and do nothing and just go traveling? What about security? What about you have making all this money? You have such security. You have a great future." But it was a no. So, just kind of circle back to that lesson and that practice. And it's still a practice. I still have lots of opportunities, things that, are maybe a no or a yes for me, and how I use my time, and it really matters. It's so easy to waste time or to do things and make money that are heavy. But then I'm just, when I say heavy, that are just a no, it doesn't feel good. Okay, I'm making money, but I don't feel good. I don't want to live my life that way.
I love it. So for listeners, we're going to have our last question in a second. I didn't have time to ask Brian about his recommendations of resources, which I know a lot of listeners really like. So we're going to trade emails afterwards. I'll get every link to everything that he would recommend for reading, conferences, all that stuff. Check out the show notes at beyondtheuniform.org. It'll all be there. But Brian, the last question I always like to end on is, what would you like to say that we haven't covered? I'm sure that we've covered so much ground, but if there's anything else that you want to make sure listeners know before we wrap up, I want to make space to just have you share whatever is on your heart.
So, okay, well, I'll finish. Interesting, this is coming to me because, I'm very proud of my military service, and it was also incredibly damaging to me. It was very painful. I was probably depressed most of the time I was in the military, and I'm proud of it at the same time. And I think so. I want to just talk about paradox for a moment, because I know that there's a lot of people that are listening that are going to have mixed feelings. I think the fact that we've worn the uniform, it doesn't matter what the hell got us there, it's something to be incredibly proud of. And it's also okay to choose something else or to stay. It's okay. But I think I want to talk of paradox really quickly, because in all my work, especially my men's work and the coaching work that I do in this, the third stage, which we didn't talk about, and that's okay. But the third stage of living and being is really, it's very paradoxical, even in relationships. It's, for example, it's learning how to connect to your desires and tell your partner what you want, and simultaneously be willing to not have it. And it's the same with, as we're making our choices for what kind of lives we want to lead. There are no guarantees down any path. The only guarantee is we're going to die. Whichever choice we make, we're going to die. And so, you know, I would encourage everyone listening to, and I'm sure many of you probably already are, but to be proud of your military service, to be proud of where you are right now, and know that life has something even more beautiful and bigger in store for you. Mm. Your only job is to just say yes to what speaks in the moment, to what's calling you now. Mm. Just to say yes to that. Mm. And that just might mean listening to another podcast. Mm. Doesn't necessarily mean taking a big leap in life. I just mean in the little ways. And so, I don't know, that's kind of a, I'm not sure how articulate I was.
No, I love that. I mean, I'm a big planner. I love to plan. I love checklists. I love to schedule things. And so when you talk about, you know, being open to what you feel in the moment, I can think of multiple times where I had my plan and then I had this hunch to do or to say something different. And for me, it's almost like that feeling when you, all of us have probably stood on a cliff and jumped into the water or jumped into a pool, and you've got that feeling in your stomach right before you do it of like, and then you do it. And it's this incredible experience. It's very similar there when like Brian's talking about, like I let go of my plan and I pay attention to my intuition. I love that. And the concept of paradox, I think, is incredible. And I love how you said that of you can both be proud of your military service and acknowledge pieces of it that did not nurture you in the way that you needed. Yeah. I'm dealing this with someone in my life that I care about deeply, and it's a struggle to say like, hey, on the one hand, this person that I care about is a racist, and it really upsets me. And I know them to be a good person in many other ways. And the temptation for me is to do one or the other, either fuck this dude, he's an asshole and he's a horrible person, or he's a great guy and I love him. And the challenge of that paradox to hold those both equally simultaneously is very challenging. And I think that you really adequately address that as a worthwhile skill and muscle to develop to be able to do those both at the same time.
Yeah, beautiful. That is the in my experience, that is a life of true mastery, being able to hold paradox and walk that edge. Mm.
Well, Brian, I appreciate your time. For listeners, check out the show notes for this. Check out Brian's podcast. Check out his website. If this speaks to you, you know, there is Brian. There are many people like this, but start that search and take action on this. Listen to that intuition if you're feeling that. But Brian, I appreciate the work that you're doing in the world. I think it's a very necessary thing to be doing right now. And I appreciate your sharing your time and perspective and decades of experience with our audience.
Thank you, Justin. It's really been an honor to have this conversation with you, man. The military, despite my challenges in the experience, it always holds a special place in my heart. Anyone who served, and yeah, man. So it's a real honor to have this conversation. Thank you for inviting me on.
Well, thank you so much for listening and for supporting Beyond the Uniform. Beyond the Uniform is produced and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our staff is entirely part-time. They do this on nights and weekends out of the goodness of their hearts to give back to the military community. Our director of outreach is Steve Bain, who relentlessly books guests, finds sponsors, puts together our newsletter, and thousands of other critical tasks every single week, all behind the scenes to keep Beyond the Uniform running smoothly. Our editor is Kathleen Dillon, who listens to and transcribes every single episode to help out those who don't have the time to listen to the show. It has a major impact on our site's SEO value, which helps people find us through Google. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge, who pours over the data each and every month to help us better understand how to best serve the Beyond the Uniform audience. Our digital production work is done by Michael Cummings, who puts together custom artwork for every episode. If you're enjoying Beyond the Uniform, the best way to help us out is by telling your friends and fellow service members and veterans. iTunes reviews, believe it or not, have a big impact on getting the word out as well. So if you have a chance to leave a positive review, that is greatly appreciated. If you know of a business that would like to get their product or service in front of a military audience, we are always on the lookout for sponsors, which helps us subsidize the cost of putting this show together. And if you haven't yet signed up for our newsletter, you can do so at beyondtheuniform.io. We send out a newsletter twice a month, and it is a treasure trove of helpful information for your civilian career and transition. And be sure to check out our coaching program, where you can be connected with a subsidized professional, certified executive and career coach to help you in your career decision-making. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back next week with more stories from military veterans about their civilian career. Take care.